he doesn't believe us. Still doesn't believe us. Technology is a wonderful thing. Are you ready, Gordon? Okay. I am. I'm ready to hear what our brother has to say this evening, and so I'm going to, one other thing I want to say. One, for those of you on live streaming, welcome. I always forget that. And two, that was a lovely song by those young people. Thank you. Brother Gordon?
All right, thank you. Oh, boy, that's working real well. I've got a new mic. We're going to try it out, see if we could all hear each other, or at least hear me. I'd like to greet each one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior this evening. I was thinking about the kids when I was watching them sing. Boy, our babies are growing up. I really enjoyed it. I'm trying to get around to see it. You can see it okay now? All right. Well, where does God dwell? This happens to be a picture that was taken by one of either my wife or Michelle Ely of Israel. Okay, that was kind of this, looks like the sun setting there. Anyhow, that's the topic of the sermon this evening. The new covenant. We can go to Jeremiah in the 31st chapter, verses 31 and 33. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. If you notice, it says house of Israel, house of Judah. It's speaking of the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, and then Judah in Jerusalem, along with maybe Benjamin. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's the promise that that we find. They would come through the prophet Jeremiah. If you remember correctly, Jeremiah, he was with the house of Judah during the time in which Babylon carried them away in 586. And then he was able to travel with them and went through that whole period of time prior to and then through that time. Jesus confirms the words of Moses. I'm going to try and create a picture for you through these scriptures concerning that new covenant and what the Lord had planned to do in our dispensation of time, the times of when Christ had come and set his kingdom here on earth. Here we find it says, Behold, I am he of whom Moses spake, saying, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And that was Moses when he was speaking to the people. He was giving them that understanding that someday there would be one who would really take his place in giving him that new covenant. The new covenant, the one that would replace the Mosaic law. And we find, and there's a warning that comes with it. It says, And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. So it was very, no different than during the days of the law of Moses. If they didn't follow the law, they were cut off. And so it will be with this new prophet that was to bring the law that they were to listen to. We find here, this is a picture of the destruction of the Second Temple back in the Romans, by the Romans in 68 AD. It's a painting by David Roberts. The reason why I have that there is that during, if you remember correctly, as you read in the scripture, during the time of King Solomon, the Spirit of God dwelt in that temple. And it was there up until the time in which we find in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel prophesied that he saw that the Lord had removed himself from the temple. He withdrew from them. And we know that finally there was a second temple, which this is the one that they built from those, the remnant that came back. There was three groups of people that came back during the days of Ezra. It was... you find that they finally built this temple. There is a record by the Hebrews that they said that God's presence through the Urim and Thummim never returned to this temple. And it's kind of interesting because we can find in the Book of Mormon when King Mosiah and King Benjamin, they had that power and authority, the seer. But the whole focus here is for us to know that when this was destroyed, what's next? What is next? Where does God dwell today? That is the question. Isaiah 66:1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And if you remember, and I've preached this sermon before concerning this particular verse of Scripture, this was the time in which they had rededicated the temple during Hezekiah's days and Isaiah. And the people had spent a lot of time and effort to rededicate the temple. And then the prophet Isaiah prophesied this. And so I imagine it was kind of confusing to the people when they had just done this. Why would he be saying, where is the house that you build unto me? And then it says, where is the place of my rest? And really, Isaiah is speaking of a time that is to come. In Isaiah 66:2, it says, for all these things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's what the Lord was looking for, where he would be able to communicate with a person that would be poor and contrite and that feared the Lord. Who then will build the temple? That old temple that was destroyed. What in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, verse 24, this is Peter actually speaking of this. He made this statement, God that Peter, this was Paul when he was at Mars Hill. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So who is it that's going to build this temple? In Zechariah, we can get a clue where the Lord, through this prophet Zechariah, he prophesied about the time and who would build the next temple. And he says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place and shall build the temple of the Lord. So it gives us a clue. It's somebody that's called the branch. And we're going to look at some scriptures to help us understand who that person is. In Jeremiah, in the 23rd chapter, in verses 5 through 6, it says, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, a king, shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now, if you notice, it says, David, he'll raise up unto David a righteous branch. This isn't the branch that was speaking of. This was a group of people. But it was going to be a king here that the Lord was going to raise up. And he's going to reign and prosper, and he's going to be able to execute judgment and justice in the earth. And it says, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteous. Isaiah in the 11th chapter, verses 1 and then 4. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. I have it underlined, a rod. What does that mean? There's the Hebrew word. It's a twig. That's what that means. So, you know, when you use your Bibles and you want to understand what they're saying, and if you'd like to write that down, just write it down so you can get a picture of what we're talking about here. Who is the branch? There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So what is the stem? A stem is a trunk or a stump. And so if you can visualize that there is going to be a stump or something that is kind of dead and decayed, and there's going to be a little twig that's going to grow out of it. And that's really what you find when Jesus Christ was born as one that came through the seed of Judah, that throughout that period of time, from the days of Solomon down to that time, that kingship kind of deteriorated. It was a dead stump. But there was going to be a twig that was going to grow out of that stump. And a branch shall grow out of its roots. And what is that branch? A descendant, a shoot. So that gives you more meaning of what the prophet Isaiah was talking about. It helps. It's a good description. It helps you to visualize what that was going to be. And you all know that it was Jesus Christ that came. He was going to be the branch. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding would be given to him. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Who is the branch? Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and the faithfulness the girdle of his reins. As we continue with some of Zechariah's prophecy in the 13th verse, it says, even he shall build the temple, the branch of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. What was that glory? You can find that in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that glory of the only begotten of the Father, of Jesus Christ, he would bear that glory. And he shall sit and rule upon his throne, being a king, just as it was prophesied. In Isaiah 16:5, and it says, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it, and in truth, and in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking and judgment and hastening righteousness. And that was his role as he sat upon the throne. And then the last one, he says, it shall be a priest upon his throne. These are all those characteristics, all those things that will go with the branch or Jesus Christ. And then the last part of it, and it says, the council of peace shall be between them both. And I divided it up, and I want you to you dissect it, because there's a lot there. The council of his peace and between them both. What does that mean? So here, the first one, that he would be a priest, is the Hebrews in the second chapter in the 17th verse. Is wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren in the flesh. That fulfills the scripture coming from that lineage, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. And then that second part, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And that was to bring them back together, the two parties, man and God. And that was going to be his role. Who then will build the temple? This is the sum of it. You can find this in Hebrews in the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 2. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, even Jesus Christ. He sat on the right hand of the throne of God, throne of the majesty in the heavens, or in the right hand of God. A minister of the sanctuary. Like in the old Mosaic law, that has to do with the new covenant. The high priest in the old covenant went in into the inner veil and made sacrifices for the sins of the people. And they did it on a regular basis. Now Jesus Christ sits on the throne and does that for us of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Can you see that picture as it's coming together? The building up of the temple of God. What does that mean? So what are all the components? What is it? What is it made of? Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation, what, of the apostles and the prophets? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. These are the different building blocks that we're going to be looking at that is putting together to make this temple here on earth. Ephesians 2, 21 through 22. In whom all the building fitly framed together. Perfect in this new covenant. All these things come in together. Groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together. You're part of it. You're an integral part. Like you remember the different preaching services dealing with the body of Christ, members in particular, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And that's that key point. You know, a long time ago in Solomon's temple, the glory of the Lord was inside the temple. He didn't speak directly to the people. Why? Because the people feared God and said, Moses, you go and talk to the Lord and come back and tell us what he has to say. And that's what their relationship was all during that period of time. So God dwelt in the temple. They could see that. The high priest went in there and made the offerings. And the Lord spoke to the high priest. And the high priest would come out and tell him what he said. But this is that new covenant where God was going to speak to you directly. And it was going to be a habitation within us. John, the 14th chapter, 16 through 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The comforter here, that you find it in the Greek, it's an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate. That's what that beautiful gift is for. And it's different. It'll be a gift that would be within us. It would be given to us. Man could not get it of its own. The Lord would be giving it to man. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And shall be in you. Now you notice, I have little numbers there. Comforter, number one. And if you notice down in the second verse, Comforter, Spirit of Truth. This is a Hebraism. And you find it throughout all the scriptures. In the prophecies and like in the writings of John. And then you can see this in the Book of Mormon as well. Comforter and the Spirit, it's the same topic. Abide with you and dwell with you. That's how they wrote. And it's a beautiful thing when you start seeing that and you see how it unfolds, it gives you an understanding, a better understanding of what they're talking about. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, what shall he do? He shall teach you all things. That's when you avail yourself to the Scriptures and you ask the Lord for understanding. He will give it to you in faith. He will help you to understand those things. So he will teach all things, those things that he has caused to be written, that as you study them and as you apply that comforter in your life, he will teach you those things that he would have you to understand. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So that Spirit is going to speak to you directly. You're going to have that communication, that new covenant, unlike the old covenant. In 1 Corinthians, in the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Understand the relationship. That's why you find that if you sin against the Holy Ghost, there is no forgiveness. It's an important thing to understand that as that Spirit is resided in you and dwelling in you, that you don't pollute it. pollute your body, the things that you think and do in your life, that you preserve that, you preserve the goodness that where God can dwell, the righteousness. That's why it's so important to understand these things, that you are the temple of God when you have been given the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's something that we can't toy with. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Alma in the 16th chapter, verses 232, and it all ties together very good. And where they were explaining things, it says, for the same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that you go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. So now can you understand how you become destroyed? Because if you push away and put that spirit out of your life, what's going to take its place? It's going to be Satan and the things that he would have you to do in your life. And so what spirit are you going to be guided by? So it's very important to understand that relationship, that once that when it's in you and you're allowing it to work in your life and you're allowing it to help and guide you and make the right decisions and do those things that are pleasing to the Lord, that same spirit, when you leave this earth, this earth, that it will possess your body in the internal world. It's an axiom. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you and hath no place in you. And the devil hath all power over you. It's no different than the days of the first temple. When Ezekiel saw the Spirit of God leave the temple. Why? Why did it withdraw from Israel? Because of their wickedness. He condemned them. He condemned them because of it. And he said, I will not dwell here anymore. And he left. And that same kind of relationship is within this temple, this physical temple that we have, our bodies. In 2 Corinthians, in the 3rd chapter, in the verses 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. To me, that's a very comforting thing. When I think about it, when the Lord was with Israel, he protected them and cared for them. And they were blessed. And he was with them. And he called them my people. You know, I hope and pray that's something that you want to be called of God. That you're his possession. That you have that relationship. That you walk with him and he walks with you. Because he dwells in you. Alma in the 16th chapter, verses 235, it says, and this I know, because the Lord has said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. And I use this to bring the two words, the two books together as a testimony. And it's also said in Mosiah 1:82 and Helaman 2:59. You can find similar words. They agree of that beautiful relationship. In Romans 12, 1 and 5, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, in order to understand what he was speaking to the Romans here, you need to understand the history of what took place at the temple and what was pleasing to God and the sacrifices that were given, that was specific. It was specific sacrifices given on a regular basis. For sin, okay? And that's what was acceptable before God. That was a type. Now, what is the requirement. What is the sacrifice for us today? That Spirit might be there and that God would be will bless us. That's what we're going to see here. It says that you present what? Your body's a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What does that mean? That you put away self. That you make, you put self, you kill self, right? Not my will, God, thy will be done in my life. And I will endeavor to do everything I can to do your will in all things. That's the desire of your heart. And you become a living sacrifice in your life. It says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. 1 Peter in the second chapter, verses 4 and 5. To whom coming as unto a living stone, speaking of Christ, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. Each one of us, that fellowship, the citizenship of the household of God, creating a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a holy priesthood. Think about that. Everything we know about God, where did it come from? From Israel, right? We have the Bible that speaks of the seed of Judah, but we know of the 10 tribes, and we know of Joseph, the Book of Mormon. It's the words, the prophets. They were all. Those are the things that we know God by. They were the. This is the same promise that they had. They would be a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. So now it is that new covenant. We've been able to be adopted into this covenant of Abraham. And we have become that as well. To be an advocate for the Father in this day in life by way of the power of the gift of the Holy Ghost and the teachings of Christ. It's important to understand this will be another sermon that I have. What is that holy priesthood going to do? What is going to be your role? Is it only going to be in this life, or is there going to be a role that extends beyond this life? To offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 14, 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When Israel was in the wilderness, how did they know that they were the children of God? He went before them. Light at night, and by day. Fire by day. They knew. We know because the Spirit is in us. And if we feel that the Spirit is not in us, then we better start thinking, what have we done? Where that Spirit is withdrawing itself from us. First John 3:2, it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Remember in the book of John when the Lord was praying and he said, Father, that as we are one, that they might be one with us by way of his Spirit. We were created in his image. And the intent is to come back to that image, to be purified and sanctified. And we shall see him as he is. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. with a trump. This is the trump that's going to announce the coming of Jesus Christ. And you should be familiar with this, because all the world talks about it, but they talk about it in the wrong way. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's that promise of the when Christ was to return. He was going to establish his kingdom on earth. Those who are righteous and those who have been deemed worthy to be there, that he was going to rule. And there was going to be a millennial reign. And then there was going to be a work during that millennial reign. What I was trying to make the picture of is this thing right here. Where does God dwell? This is something that our brothers use to teach about what makes that beautiful temple. And each one of these pieces put together, Brother Jay and Brother Brian and different ones have used this to help understand, you know, to give you a pictorial of what I just spoke about. All of you who have made that covenant with God, and then through the laying of hands, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Each one of us together with the prophets and the apostles and the things that Jesus Christ established here on earth for the last times, his kingdom. We make up that beautiful spiritual temple that the Lord created himself. I hope and pray that I gave you some thought, that you might consider the beautiful gift that you have in you, and that you protect it, cherish it, thank God for it, and may God bless you in your life.